Well, welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this beautiful Sabbath day. And let us go ahead and bow our heads and our knees for opening prayer.
Privilege we have of coming together, even though it's over the internet, to worship you, to sing songs of praise to your name, and to learn from the study that's to be given. Send your Holy Spirit to be with the speaker. May his words bring hope and comfort and understanding to the hearts of each listener. Bless everyone that came to the chat this morning. Pour out your blessing upon them and help them to share with others what they learn here. These things we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen, and thank you, dear brother. Well, we're continuing in Desire of Ages. This is chapter 13, entitled The Victory. And we're down about two-thirds of the way on page 128, and the paragraph begins, "Yet we should not lose courage." And Desire of Ages can be found on our website at lightministries.com/ID621.htm. So about two-thirds of the way down on page 128. "Yet we should not lose courage when assailed by temptation. Often when placed in a trying situation, we doubt that the Spirit of God has been leading us. But it was the Spirit's leading that brought Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. When God brings us into trial, he has a purpose to accomplish for our good. Jesus did not presume on God's promises by going unbidden into temptation, neither did he give up to despondency when temptation came upon him. Nor should we. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So, dear ones, in the times in which God allows us to enter into a trying situation, what is God trying to accomplish by allowing that trial to come to us? One reason is he's allowing the trial to reveal to us weaknesses and defects in our life. And if we recognize these weaknesses and defects instead of just giving in to them, if we recognize our weakness, then we're in a much better position to call upon God to help us and to gain for us the victory through that trial, through his grace and strength. So then if God didn't allow that trial to come to us, then we would have never recognized our weakness and then had never called upon God to help us gain the victory. So one reason why God allows temptation and trials to come to you and me, and a lot of times they come at the worst possible time, at least in our estimation, is God has a purpose, and that purpose is to lead us to recognize that there's nothing within us that we should depend upon. But we should instead depend upon God, and he will indeed gain for us the victory. So then whatever trials and temptations are allowed to come to us is for a purpose to accomplish our good, to accomplish good within us. It's for our benefit. It allows us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So instead of looking at trials and tribulations as something that is negative or something that is unwanted, although that is human nature, we should look at trials and tribulations with the understanding that we can become better in growth. We can be that much more closer to God through these trials and tribulations than if they never were allowed to occur to us. And we know that God loves us, and we know that He's interested in our welfare, and He does not want to see us go through anything needless, especially in tribulation. So if we recognize that God loves us, then we should also recognize that whatever trial or tribulation He allows to come to us is for our best good. So then this means that God has already seen the trial, and He sees the results of the trial if we rely upon Him to overcome them. And He sees the results of trusting in Him brings us that much closer to salvation. But if we don't recognize God's hand in allowing these trials and tribulations to come our way, then we're going to become despondent or distrusting, or we're going to start complaining. Why is this happening to me? Has God forsaken me? Am I left all to myself? And let us not follow in that train, because that train will lead us to wanting to give up the warfare, believing that there's no hope. But if we recognize that God loves us, and we recognize that whatever trials or tribulations come our way, God has already seen that we, through His power and grace, can overcome them, and thus come up that much higher in the Christian walk, that much closer to salvation. And we never would have been able to advance without the trial and the tribulation coming to us. So when Christ was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and the temptations came to Him, He didn't give up to despondency, because He trusted in His Father. And we need to do the same. We need to trust in our Father, because He will never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to endure. And God will allow a way to escape, and that way to escape is through His grace and strength, to escape giving in to that temptation and instead to gain the victory. And thus we're able to bear that temptation. We're able to overcome it. Christ overcame every temptation the devil threw His way. And Christ was fully human, just like you and me. The only way that Christ was able to overcome them all was to rely upon His Father for grace and strength to endure. Then that means we can also overcome and endure every temptation and tribulation the devil throws our way, if we don't rely upon our own strength, which is actually pure weakness, but instead flee to God and rely upon His grace and strength that will indeed gain for us the victory. So God is faithful. You can trust Him. And God will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able to bear or endure. But he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape, give you all the grace and strength that you need, so that you will be able to bear up through the temptation and gain the victory through Christ, which strengthens you. Continuing, he says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Which is Psalms 50, verses 14 and 15. And the other text that I read, that God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. So God is faithful, and if we come to him and call upon him in the day of our trouble or the day of our tribulation, God is faithful to deliver us. And then we can turn around and give him all the praise and glory for gaining for us, or gaining through us, the victory. So, dear ones, if we fall by giving in to the temptation, the fault is not God's. The fault is with us, because we did not rely upon God to help us. We either gave in to despondency, or we didn't examine ourselves before just giving in to the temptation. So then that means that all sin cannot be chargeable to God, but it's chargeable to us. It was our choice. Whether it was a thoughtless choice, we just immediately gave into it, or it was an intelligent decision, a knowing decision to give into it. If we fall, we have only ourselves to blame. But God is faithful if we rely upon him and call upon him for help to deliver us from that temptation, to gain for us the victory, and then we can glorify him by raising our voices in gratitude and thankfulness for his mercy and his kindness. Are there any thoughts or comments, dear ones, any questions before we continue? Amen. There's a comment in the room that says, God weighs all temptations before he allows them to come to us. Amen indeed. And that goes right along with 1 Corinthians 10:13, that God will make a way of escape with the temptation. So in other words, he knows how strong that temptation is before he allows it to come to you. And he also knows that you're able to endure through that temptation if you will come to him for the grace and strength. So when we're tempted to believe that we've been forsaken by God because of all the trouble that we're going through, it's just the opposite. God knows every bit of that trouble. And he tempered it, or he lowered the intensity of that trouble just so you, no matter how weak you are, you could overcome it if you'll come to him for help. That's how much God loves you, dear one. He doesn't allow any trouble or any trial or temptation to come to you that you could not possibly overcome. You can overcome it all if you will come to God for help. So even if a temptation has come to you 50 times in a row, and God has allowed you to gain the victory 49 of those times. And then on the 50th time, you say, well, man, I've gained the victory over this 49 times in the past. I can do it now. You won't be able to overcome it because now you're relying upon yourself to overcome instead of upon God through you to overcome. So, dear ones, it's impossible for us without God's help to overcome any trial or tribulation. Don't lose that understanding. Don't forget that. With God, every trial and tribulation and temptation becomes as nothing because He's all powerful. It will be easy to overcome through Him that strengthens you. But without Him, you won't be able to overcome. So call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. That's a promise. And thou shalt glorify me. Continuing. Jesus was victor in the second temptation, and now Satan manifests himself in his true character. But he does not appear as a hideous monster with cloven feet and bat wings. He is a mighty angel, though fallen. He avows himself the leader of rebellion and the god of this world. So the devil is not a hideous-looking creature. He's still a mighty angel. He still appears glorious. He still is wise, wiser than we'll ever be. And he may come down as an angel of light, just as he did to Christ, trying to lead us to believe that he has a message directly from God, and this message is that we're to follow Sunday worship and not Saturday worship because God has changed it. Are we going to follow the sight of our eyes and be dazzled with his brightness and declare, well, this can't possibly be the devil because he's not clothed in darkness? He doesn't look hideous. He looks just like an angel from heaven. Are we going to follow our eyesight? Are we going to follow a thus saith the Lord? That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thus his Sabbath day that was created at the beginning of this earth's history before sin is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will never change because it's connected with God who never changes. So are we going to stand upon a thus saith the Lord, that Sunday is not the Sabbath and never will be, that only Saturday, the seventh day of the week, is the Sabbath and will always be? Are we going to deny our eyesight and all our feelings in order to stand upon an it is written? That's going to be a test, a big test. Are we going to pass it? Not if we trust to our eyesight. We must deny everything in ourselves and stand by faith on a thus saith the Lord. So those who believe that Satan is a hideous-looking monster or clothed in darkness are going to be deceived when he comes as an angel of light, because that's not how they picture him. And then they're going to be wide open to receiving the deception that he brings them to worship on Sunday, because God sent him directly down to earth with this message. And most all the people in the world are going to wonder after the beast. They're going to follow the command to worship on Sunday. And Satan coming down as a mighty angel is the crowning act of his deception over the world. And only those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life and retained there through choosing to follow Jesus and to keep a Thus Saith the Lord are going to be able to overcome that great crowning act of deception. So, dear ones, is your name written there in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the city bright and fair? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and have been baptized in His name, your name's written there. But if you've gone back to your old life, then you're in danger of having your name removed because you're no longer connected with the Lord. You've gone back to being connected with the world. So, dear ones, is your name written there and is it retained there? Are you living up to your covenant agreement with God to live for Him? Or are you living for yourself? These are serious questions that we each need to ask ourselves and then honestly answer. Where are we standing? Are we standing on the side of Christ or the side of the world? Where are we standing? Where are you standing, dear precious soul? So Jesus gained the victory over the first temptation of Satan, quoting Scripture, standing on that word. God then gave him the grace and strength to overcome. Jesus gained the victory over the second temptation, again, quoting Scripture and standing on the word of God. And God then gave him the grace and strength to resist, and he gained the victory. So now, Satan manifests himself to Jesus in his true character. He's not pretending to be an angel directly sent from God. He reveals that he is Lucifer, the leader of rebellion and the so-called God of this world. Continuing. Placing Jesus upon a high mountain, Satan caused the kingdoms of the world and all their glory to pass in panoramic view before him. The sunlight lay on templed cities, marbled palaces, fertile fields, and fruit-laden vineyards. The traces of evil were hidden. So Satan made it appear that everything that he was showing to Christ was all in glory and splendor without any possible traces of sin and wickedness that were existing in these cities. So he made this temptation to Christ appear all glorious He disguised it, in other words. Continuing. The eyes of Jesus, so lately greeted by gloom and desolation, now gazed upon a scene of unsurpassed loveliness and prosperity. So it was something that was glorious to behold and so different than the picture that Christ was seeing all around him. In other words, the devil was making this temptation attractive. Something that could draw from Christ a desire to have it for himself. It was an enticement. Continuing. Then the tempter's voice was heard, "All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." So that was the very attractive temptation, the third temptation that came to Christ in the wilderness. But it wasn't true. The images that came before the eyes of Christ were altered. They were touched up. It was not a true image of the cities and the palaces and the fields and the fruit-laden vineyards. It had been altered. Amen. The devil airbrushed the image. And the devil's words that he used were not true either. The devil could not give him all the power of these areas. He could not give him the glory of all these areas. And it wasn't delivered unto him as a god of this world to give it to whomsoever he would. It was not his property to give. He was not the creator of it. He was not the owner of it. So then the devil's claim that if Christ would worship him, then he could give him the entire world as a reward was not true. But that was the temptation. And so when the devil comes to you and tempts you, say, if you give in to this, you're going to be better off than you were before, is a lie. If you do this, you're going to be happy. You're going to be filled with pleasure, contentment, joy. It's all a lie. When Adam and Eve chose to give in to sin, they did not receive a higher learning. They did not receive happiness and joy and contentment. They received suffering, bitterness, pain, death. So giving in to temptation and committing sin does not bring any benefit whatsoever to you. It only adds to your suffering and misery. So that was the temptation that came to Christ, clothed in a very attractive picture, airbrushed to perfection, so that no traces of evil or sin or destruction or corruption was apparent. What was Christ going to do? Was he going to trust in his eyesight? To his feelings? Or was he going to trust on a thus saith the Lord? Continuing. Christ's mission could be fulfilled only through suffering. Before him was a life of sorrow, hardship, and conflict, and an ignominious death. He must bear the sins of the whole world. He must endure separation from his Father's love. Now the tempter offered to yield up the power he had usurped. Christ might deliver himself from the dreadful future by acknowledging the supremacy of Satan. But to do this was to yield the victory in the great controversy. It was in seeking to exalt himself above the Son of God that Satan had sinned in heaven. Should he prevail now, it would be the triumph of rebellion. So was Christ going to take the easier life or the life of suffering? We're faced with that very same decision, dear ones, when we're tempted. Are we going to take the easier life by giving in to self? Or are we going to take the life of suffering by crucifying self, denying our eyesight, our feelings, our desires, and bear the cross and follow Christ? Which path are we going to take? The straight, upward, narrow path that requires determination and effort and painful suffering to climb? Or the broad, smooth road that leads downward and is so much easier to walk? Which path are we going to take? Our Savior has shown us the way. Continuing. When Satan declared to Christ, "The kingdom and glory of the world are delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it," he stated what was true only in part, and he declared it to serve his own purpose of deception. Satan's dominion was that wrested from Adam. But Adam was the vicegerent of the Creator. His was not an independent rule. The earth is God's, and he has committed all things to his Son. Adam was to reign subject to Christ. When Adam betrayed his sovereignty into Satan's hands, Christ still remained the rightful king. Thus the Lord had said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will," which is Daniel 4:17. Satan can exercise his usurped authority only as God permits. When the tempter offered to Christ the kingdom and glory of the world, he was proposing that Christ should yield up the real kingship of the world and hold dominion subject to Satan. This was the same dominion upon which the hopes of the Jews were set. They desired the kingdom of this world. If Christ had consented to offer them such a kingdom, they would gladly have received him. But the curse of sin with all its woe rested upon it. Christ declared to the tempter, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." So, dear ones, when we're tempted to sin, let us remember what Christ said to Satan. "Get thee behind me, tempter, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And if we do so, God will then give us the grace and the strength to overcome that temptation and gain the victory. So then when we're tempted, it's actually a choice between whom we're going to worship and serve. Are we going to worship and serve the devil by giving in to the temptation? Or are we going to resist in the grace and strength of God and worship and serve the Lord by overcoming that temptation? So who do we want to worship more? That's what we have to ask ourselves in every time of temptation. Who are we going to worship? Whom are we going to serve? And if we could just remember to ask ourselves that question when we see that we're being tempted, then we will be in a much better position to rely upon the Lord and to resist that temptation so we can worship and serve Him only than we would be if we try to battle that temptation without asking ourselves that question. Amen. May God indeed help us to discern when a temptation comes to us so we just don't immediately give in to it like we've done so many times in the past. And God will indeed help us to overcome if we rely upon Him and not ourselves for the grace and strength to overcome. So it comes down to an issue of love. If we truly love the Lord more than ourselves, then we're going to serve Him by following a thus saith the Lord. And He will recognize our faithfulness and determination to serve Him out of love. And He will then give us the grace and the strength to gain the victory. Or do we love ourselves more than the Lord? If we do, then we're going to give in to the temptation. We're not going to resist it because we love satisfying our own desires. We love serving ourself more than we love serving God. So who do you love, dear ones? If you truly love the Lord, then you will keep all of His commandments because you will only serve Him. And this is a question that we each have to ask ourselves. Who do we love more? And may God help us to be honest with ourselves, to see ourselves as we really are, so that we can repent of our self-love and plead for God to change our hearts from self-love to selfless love, and thus be on that straight and narrow path to eternal life. May we be willing to suffer anything and everything in order to remain connected with our God. Because to be connected with God is eternal life. And may God help us to be faithful to the end, to endure, that we may win that crown of life that has all been made possible by the precious blood, merits, and righteousness, grace, and divine power of our Savior Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer. Dear ones, let us please bow our heads and kneel for closing prayer to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School. our dear precious Heavenly Father. We thank you so very much for your great love, your infinite kindness, your tender heart to each one. Thank you so very much for recognizing how weak we are. We are but dust. We just exist a very short time on your scale of infinity. But Father, I thank you so very much for condescending to each one of us. Thank you so much for knowing exactly what situations we are going through. And thank you so very much for preventing the devil from doing anything or tempting us above what we are able to bear, but tempering that temptation, lowering the intensity of it, so that we can endure if we will rely upon thee for grace and strength. Thank you so very much for making it possible that we can be in union with thee, the Almighty, through our Lord Jesus Christ, the connecting link between us and you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.